Here we are for the Madden 13 cycle. This is The Naked Boot, a TMFL production. As you can guess, this is the podcast for TMFL, Madden's only Xbox Premier League. I'm here with my host, co-host today, Mr. I. Pinch. You may know him from PFP and Our Days in the Saddle Together on those podcasts. It's great to be back with you there, buddy.
Absolutely, J-Face. How's it going, man?
I cannot complain. Oh, well, actually, you know what? I take that back. There's one thing I can't complain about. There's another storm brewing up here in Anchorage, Alaska that gusts could take us upwards of 80 miles an hour again. And, you know, last time that happened, I was without power for almost 72 hours. So no bueno on that front. But as I mentioned, it's the Madden 13 time. I want you to give me right off the bat your quick hit impressions of this video game.
I'm very impressed. Clearly, CCM is a really deep mode, and it's great. I know some of the guys in TMFL last year, really, it was frustrating with that XFN where we had to balance contracts and cap and do that all on a different site. So to have that all rolled into one, it's really nice. On top of that, having fully fledged scouting system, it's going to be really rewarding when you dig up some guys in the later rounds. As far as gameplay, you know, same thing as NCAA, the passing trajectories are awesome, and I just love that everything's timing-based. I also love the defensive ends really get involved in the pass rush this year. It's not exclusively coming from the D-tackles. You know, on the other side of that, you get rewarded for stepping up in the pocket because those edge rushers get upfield. And the new engine is obviously the one making headlines, and it's great. I mean, there are definitely some awkward moments, particularly after the play, but brings a much-needed sense of momentum and unpredictability to the table, I feel like.
I want to add on to your point of the stepping up in the pocket being a rewarding process. I actually was playing a little friendly with Baron today, our Kansas City Chiefs owner, and he has, you know, one of the elite edge rushers in the NFL in Tom Bahali, and he came off the edge with him, and I was able to step up and find a wide open receiver with Russell Wilson just stepping right up in the pocket and gunning it to actually Marshawn Lynch was out of the backfield cutting up field doing a little free route, and it went for at least, you know, 60 yards just based on the catch and run. But just being able to step up and launch the ball like that felt really rewarding. Overall, my game impressions thus far is, you know, I've told you this through our years of friendship, Pinch, that I've never gotten behind Madden since the Xbox 360 and the PS3s came out to market, and this is the first one that I can truly say I've gotten behind. This is a very well-put-together game. I love the Infinity Engine. I love the CCM setup. The only kind of gripe that I have with it is just it seems, I don't know if maybe they're just trying to balance it out right now with the servers and the things they're adding onto this game post-production, but the servers are having a consistent downage around the evening hour, or seems like daily, or at least every other day. But from what I can tell, it's to actually add things. Latest report was fantasy drafts are being added post-production, which is really, when you think about it, something that they're doing on the fly, which is quite amazing that not only did they listen to us here in the sim communities, but the vocal minority, unfortunately, they listened to some of them and made a fantasy draft on the fly, which was, you know, you got to give kudos to EA for being an adaptive production team and making something that can appeal to all audiences. But other than that, I'm enjoying my time thoroughly in TMFL, and I want to thank you greatly, iPinch, for, you know, getting in my ear and saying, hey, you know, brother, get on this. This is going to be a fun league this year, and you were dead on with that one.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Obviously, I think we've got a really good group here, and I'm really excited to get going. And, you know, with a 48-hour advanced schedule, we should get through seasons pretty quickly. So, you know, it should make for some great storylines, and it's going to be a blast. I really can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, let's get into our teams. I am the Seattle Seahawks. They were, I think, number 2 on my top 3 that Sean gave me. Of course, I was not getting number 1 because Sean and I share a mutual love, or in this case, a mutual self-loathing of loving the Browns. But I got the Seattle Seahawks, my local team, if you can consider Anchorage, Alaska having a local team. It is the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm running the actual Pete Carroll system, which is somewhat West Coast, kind of leading off to what Holmgren had when he was in Seattle. A little quick hitting, a lot of A lot of sideline routes, a lot of up the middle slants and drags, something that really keeps the ball in Russell Wilson's hands for no more than, you know, 3 seconds at a time, 3-5 seconds at a time with a heavy run concentrate. You know, I've got Marshawn Beast Mode Lynch in the backfield, and he's just been phenomenal for me thus far. And then on the other side on defense, I'm running a very, very vanilla, whatever you want to say, 4-3. It's not very exotic. My two D tackles are very much hole pluggers that just sit there and occupy space while my defensive ends do a little bit of work. Although Mbane and Branch can break off and rush the passer if need be. But other than that, it's pretty vanilla, or like I said, whatever that word is, where I rely actually heavily, very heavily, on my great young defensive backfield. I have two stud young corners in Brower and Sherman, and two stud safeties in Chancellor and Thomas. How about the Giants? You got them, your number one team. What are you doing out there?
Yeah, I'm running with my New York Football Giants. I don't generally like to take the best teams, but it's the kind of situation where I couldn't let anybody else take them. You know, it would pain me a little bit to see somebody else run with them. So, you know, obviously that defense, I'm running an attacking 4-3 defense, utilizing the NASCAR package a lot, where I get all my pass rushers out on the field, four defensive ends, OC Umanura, Justin Tuck, Jason Pierre-Paul, and, you know, really getting after the quarterback and allowing my secondary to sort of contain everything and being the benefactors of that great pass rush. On offense, I'm running a balanced scheme, and you know, that word is really critical to what I'm trying to do this year. Just balance across the board. In my last game, I had 190 yards rushing, 184 yards passing. And the last cycle, I carried away a little bit throwing it out with Cruz and Knicks and all sorts of weapons on the outside. It's tempting, but it's not how you win football games, at least not how I win them. So I'm splitting carries with the rookie David Wilson and Ahmad Bradshaw, and keeping them fresh, trying to prevent injuries, and keeping opponents off balance, utilizing a lot of play action after setting up the run. And so far, it's been pretty successful for me.
I like what you're doing out there. Sounds like we're pretty similar in our styles. I may be a little bit more run-heavy than you, but right now it's leading to success, as we'll get in later with our recaps thus far this season. Now, it's not just the two of us today. We actually have a special guest with us. We have Ant Cap. He is a longtime TMFL owner, and we figured we'd have him on for our first show and go over with us with what you're doing with your team.
Right now, obviously, I got the Falcons. It's my favorite team. It's been a love of mine for a while, and you know, playing with any other team would be very tough for me. So I do appreciate Sean assigning that team for me. My team on offense is a more of a spread type offense. I have obviously lots of weapons on the outside with Julio Jones and Roddy White. I have a good sure-handed tight end and Tony Gonzalez. And I like to kind of open it up a little bit, set up the run that way. More of a pass first, run second option. In this game so far, I've been pretty balanced as far as amount of plays as run to pass, but usually the pass definitely sets up the run for me. Turner's a nice bruising back, not getting a whole lot of big plays out of him. I don't think I've got anything over 15 yards and probably 30-plus games online so far, but definitely get you those hard yards. And then I've got a change of pace back in Jacquizz Rodgers. That's a little bit more of a scat back, catches the balls out of the backfield. Can't complain too much on offense. Defense-wise, I got an attacking 4-3. I use that term loosely because I am not generating any sacks right now. All my sacks have been covered sacks, so attacking by theory, but I'm not really exactly getting too much success with it. I got three good DBs in Brent Grimes and Asante Samuel and Dante Robinson, which really keeps my team in check there. Decent coverage with my safeties. No big names with Dekud and William Moore. But overall, I kind of play a bend, don't break, break defense. Kind of let you move the ball a little bit, but try not to let up the big play and make you drive to win.
I like actually what Atlanta did out there in real life, acquiring Asante Samuel. It makes their defensive secondary really solid, I feel. And I have a feeling that you will love it as well, probably already paying big dividends for you. Now let's get into some goals real quickly here before we take a break. Let's start off with you, Ant. What are your goals this year so far?
I think going in, being a new game, I really, you know, set my goals a little bit lower in the beginning. I'd like to be a playoff team. You know, that's obviously number one. If I can do anything more than that, I think it'd be a bonus. I play in a pretty tough division with some good guys I've been playing for a while. So, you know, one small goal is I want to beat each one of them at least once. I don't want to go 0-2 with any of my teams there. But that's pretty much my short-term goals. And then as we get a little bit more progressed into the franchise, I think I want to make them a little bit more lofty. But as now, just make the playoffs.
There we go. How about you, Pinch? What are you doing out there in New York?
I have some similar goals in that. You know, my main goal is to make the playoffs. But I think given the way that the divisions are situated, I don't think I can get there without winning the division. We'll get into a little bit of that later, detailing some of the other divisions. But I think my goal is to win the division, first and foremost. Some smaller goals, you know, I was able to take down the Cowboys in the first week, and I would love to sweep Dallas this year. You know, Coach saw him off, and I went back and forth in last year's cycle, so I would really like to set the tone early and frustrate him a little bit with a 2-0 season versus them. So how about you out in Seattle?
Out in Seattle, we're really, you know, I love my roster. It's not the most talented roster, so right now I'm actually thinking just a 500 season at this point. Right now, I'm 2 wins into that, as we'll get into later. But 500 season, maybe knock on the door of the playoffs. I wouldn't be disappointed if I miss out on my first year. Like I said, this is my first Madden playing full-time since 10. So I'm rusty on the Madden sticks, so I'm taking it as it comes. And then long-term, I want to kind of mimic this team's real-life structure, and I want to be a team that has a ball-hawking secondary and a team that turns Russell Wilson into a franchise quarterback, a legitimate NFL QB, because he's got the skill set. It's just really me behind the sticks that has to make it happen. But let's wrap it up here for the first segment. When we come back from the break, we're going to play a little game, and we're also going to cover week one and a little bit of week two. We'll be back. This is the Naked Boot, a TMFL production.
Millions of Americans every day are shedding unwanted pounds by taking tested and proven Ultra Lipo Stick. Carbohydrates are bad, bad. Our carbo-fighting antioxidant is good, good. Just listen to these satisfied customers.
My name is Gail, and I lost like 20 pounds on Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Jared, and I lost 46 pounds using Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Zach, and I actually gained weight. This stuff sucks!
Ultra Lipo Stick is safe and easy to inject. Just 3 doses, 4 times a day, discreetly underneath your fingernail. Listen to this.
I used Ultra Lipo Stick and suffered from side effects like uncontrollable greasy discharge.
Ultra Lipo Stick, it turned the armpits of all of my shirts orange. This stuff is crap.
Try it today and see some real results. Ultra Lipo Stick, not available in stores. Results may vary.
Welcome back to the Naked Boot TMFL production with co-hosts iPinch and J-Face and guest star of the week, Ant Cap. We're going to get started here with a recap of week one. Start with the upset of the week. Our dear commissioner, Sean Mason, takes down Mari Webb and the Eagles 35-10 with his Cleveland Browns. Cleveland outgained Philly 315-159 in total offense. And Michael Vick was horrendous, going 7 of 23 with 2 interceptions and only 89 yards. On the flip side, 28-year-old rookie Brandon Wheaton managed the game very effectively, completing 63 of his passes for 194 yards, touchdown, and 0 turnovers. What really surprises me most about this is the fact that Marty, coach of the Eagles, couldn't get Shady McCoy going at all, as he was limited to 16 carries and only 34 yards. Meanwhile, Richardson exploded for Coach Mason with 100 yards against a very stout Philly defense. It's clear that Coach Marty is really struggling with his transition to the 4-3 defense. He's certainly a 3-4 kind of coach historically. And I think this game leaves a lot of question marks moving forward. For Marty, is he going to be able to hang with the talent that's in the NFC East? How soon will he dump Vic for Foles, or is he going to use the draft to pick his own quarterback? And for Sean, you know, this game sort of begs the question of how good is this guy? The division is wide open, in my opinion, and can he really rely on those two rookies to get the job done down the stretch, or was this merely an anomaly in what will be a long season for our commissioner here? Some other recaps as we start with the NFC East, and my New York Giants took down Coach Sawmoff and the Cowboys 45-10. Eli threw for 274 yards, three touchdowns, and didn't turn the ball over, while the slash and dash combo of Bradshaw and rookie David Wilson combined for 181 yards. DeMarco Murray was limited to 47 yards on 18 carries, as the Giants' defensive line looked quite imposing, adding four sacks as well. This is a really big win for me personally, as I know I'm prone to a cold streak at some point, and the East is going to get very competitive down the road. So, yeah, I'm looking for Coach Saw to bounce back in a big way. He's too good, and this team's just too talented. So, you know, the rematch is week six, and be looking forward to that one. In a showdown of two of the NFC's best teams, arguably, the Niners beat the Packers 25-24. And it was a really big win for Coach Johnny Clutch, who just, you know, is a new member of the TMFL this year, over Coach Mazler of the Packers, seasoned TMFL guy. Incredibly, total offensive yards in this was almost identical. San Francisco had 361 yards of offense, and Green Bay had 362 yards total offense. Safe to say this one was as close as it gets, and I believe that the fact that the Niners won the turnover battle really enabled them to ultimately prevail. Aaron Rodgers threw for 341 yards, three scores, but was picked twice. Meanwhile, Alex Smith threw for 287, three scores, but was also picked two times. Neither team could really get the run game going, but LaMichael James seemed to provide a much-needed spark for Coach Johnny Clutch down the stretch, and he actually converted a two-point conversion to win this game. In the end, this ballsy coach really paid off and sealed the victory and avoided overtime for the Niners. Coach Mazler has to be feeling okay about this one, though, because the Niners are quite formidable, and moving forward, I think he'll face less talented teams in the NFC North. In an AFC North showdown, Cincinnati took down the Ravens 35-31. And, you know, this was the Monday night game. Stakes were really high, and Cincy absolutely lit it up in the air. Andy Dalton had the game of his life, completing 64% of his passes for 335 yards, four touchdowns, and no interceptions. Joe Flacco also put up big numbers, airing it out for 394 yards, three scores, but he did throw two interceptions, which proved costly. Neither team really ran the ball with much proficiency, but Ray Rice did muster 66 yards and a score on 20 carries. A.J. Green had a big day with seven receptions for 127 yards and a score, while Torrey Smith lit it up with 10 catches for 193 yards and two scores. I'm a bit surprised by the amount of sacks in this one, as Baltimore really has some elite pass rushers and really only mustered three sacks in this game total. You know, Baltimore had two and Cincy had one. Even stranger was the fact that Baltimore, despite all those pass rushers, both their sacks came on corner blitzes. Bengals definitely won this game on turnovers and special teams, as former North Carolina Tar Heel Brandon Tate added a 102-yard score in addition to them winning the turnover battle. So this was a pivotal win for Cincy, and I think puts them in control early on of that AFC North. Moving out west, the Seahawks took down the Cardinals 38-3. That's just an utterly shocking result here, as Coach Jay Face dominated Coach T.E. Clemson. The biggest stat that stands out to me is that Seahawks won the turnover battle 3-0, which obviously proved pivotal. Russell Wilson really did an effective job managing the game, throwing for 181 yards, a score, and he did it all on only 12 pass attempts. Cardinals quarterback John Skelton really struggled and only completed 55% of his passes for 160 yards and an interception. He was also sacked five times, which certainly didn't help him. Both running games were effective, as Marshawn Lynch dashed for 130 yards and a score, while Ryan Williams added 90 yards of his own on just 11 carries. Seattle spark plug Leon Washington also contributed with a 68-yard punt return for a score. This is really a critical win for Coach Jayface. I'm very interested to see how the NFC West plays out, and I think, you know, San Francisco has to be looking over their shoulder a little bit at this result and a little nervous. My player of the week goes to the aforementioned Andy Dalton to put up those sort of numbers, which, again, just to run through them briefly, 16 for 25, 335 yards, four scores, and zero turnovers. And to do it against a tremendous Baltimore defense is very impressive. And just recapping some key injuries in week one, thankfully there haven't been any serious injuries thus far, but there's a a few, you know, nagging minor injuries that could set some guys back early. For me, Linval Joseph's out 5 weeks with broken collarbone. He's my starting defensive tackle. And OCU Muro's out 3 weeks as well. That will obviously affect my defensive game plan, although I am a little bit deep on the D-line, as most people know. The Cowboys lost Marcus Spears for 6 weeks with a broken jaw, and he's a pivotal part of that front three, so I think that should slow down the Cowboys' defense a little bit. Lions lost halfback Javon Best for 4 weeks with a broken collarbone, but the good news is that Hova doesn't really run the ball at all, so I think other than the screen game, this should really not affect him too much. The Rams lost Danny Amendola, and he's out 5 weeks with an abdominal tear, which will hurt an already thin wide receiver core for Coach Matrix and the Rams. And the Texans lost starting strong safety Daniel Manning for 5 weeks with a broken collarbone. That wraps up my week one recap here. And now we're going to play a little game called Fact or Fiction. And I'm going to run through a couple questions briefly for both J-Face and Ant Cap here and get their picks. Get their opinions on these, and is it a fact or is it fiction? So, Justin, I'll shoot this one to you first. These guys love to talk about themselves being the best division, but I'm interested to hear what a newcomer has to say. The NFC South is the best division in this league.
You know, I've only been in here for a couple weeks now, but I'm going to go out and say fact right away. I think they've got... I've never played these guys, but just hearing the rumors of, you know, other guys who played them and the tough times they've had, they've got some great guys behind the sticks, and they've got talented rosters. So I'm going to go ahead and say fact.
And Cap, you know, you're obviously the coach of the Falcons here, so maybe a little bit biased, but interested in your opinion nonetheless.
I'm definitely going to go fact as well. I think history kind of speaks for itself. I think 7 out of the last 8 seasons in TMFL, we've sent a guy to the Super Bowl. So I think the Super Bowl goes through the NFC South until otherwise, you know, knocked off.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, unfortunately. Before the year started, I definitely thought that the NFC East would contend with the NFC South. But, you know, Coach Saw got off to a really slow start with the Cowboys. He's now 0-2. And Marty Webb struggling a bit with the Eagles. So, yeah, I'm going to say fact. I mean, I've played all these guys, and interestingly enough, the two divisions play each other this year. So we'll really get a sense of, you know, who's the biggest and baddest division in the NFC. But, you know, from top to bottom, all these guys can play. So, you know, Cap's got the Saints. He's always very tough. Ant with the Falcons. Fuzzy. I mean, from top to bottom, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Banzai can hang in there, because those three guys, man, they're good players. So... All right, that wraps up the first question. Moving on. Running back will surpass 1,500 yards this season, Justin. Fact or fiction?
Fact, and I'm going to give you the biased answer. It's going to be beast mode Marshawn Lynch himself. Get your Skittles ready, because it's happening. He's already averaging over 100 yards per carry. He just does that for 16 weeks, and there you go.
I'm going to go fact as well, but I'm not going to go with Marshawn Lynch. I'm going to go with Darren McFadden with the Raiders. I think his ability to have the home run threat will help him, whereas Marshawn's going to have some tough yards to get there.
All right, you know, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to go fiction here. I think it's a combination of two things. It just seems thus far that everybody's more oriented toward the pass, with a few exceptions. But, you know, that coupled with the fact that I think there's going to be some injuries, and I see that stamina slider affecting things a little bit, I don't think anybody makes it to 1,500 yards this season, but... You know, we'll revisit this at the end of the year, and we'll see who's right and who's wrong. And that wraps up our game of Fact or Fiction here. We're going to hit break real quick, but when we come back, we're going to give our, you know, our picks for playoffs, our breakdowns of the AFC, NFC, how we see it unfolding, and, you know, our projected Super Bowl. So we'll be right back here on The Naked Boot, TMFL production.
You probably already know how to manage your money, and that's great, but do you know how to massage your money? How in the poop are you anyway? I'm Walter Wintz, creator of the Money Massage System. By using my proven system, I've been helping people just like you become financially limber.
Since I started using Money Massage, my money is actually more pliable.
I started using the system, and, you know, I haven't actually measured my money, but it does look bigger.
Are you upside down and backwards in a mortgage? The Money Massage System is here to help.
My friends used to come to me for financial advice, and now they come to me to cry on my shoulder, and I will give them a dollar to blow their nose on.
Don't wait another minute. Call today and start your path to financial fluffiness.
Welcome back to The Naked Boot, a TMFL production. I'm your host, JFace907. We're going to introduce a new segment that I've never done before in any of my podcasting days here at the website, Church and Sports Online. We're going to have a celebrity guest. Actually, it's a celebrity guest impersonator. We're bringing on Cheese right now, or as we know him, TSO's own Nick Bakay. If you don't know who Nick Bakay is, for all you teeny boppers out there, Gravity, I'm looking at you. We had Salem the Cat from Melissa Joan Hart's sitcom Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Nick Bakay was the voice of that cat, and Cheese sounds just like him. So Cheese, put on the black fur, put on the any other thing Nick Bakay's ever done in his life, assume the position, let's go. Let's give you Bakay's picks, week 3 edition.
Well, it's not really too difficult to put on the black fur. I still have that costume. I wear it very frequently to furry parties. That's kind of how I spend my spare time anymore. When I'm not making my picks for the TMFL, thank you, JFace, for this opportunity. The first game I'm looking at is a rematch of the TSO Madden Championship. We have LSU Truth, Jacksonville Jaguars, Z-Car 352's Indianapolis Colts. These two users did so well in the Madden tournament that they've come over to the TMFL and stunk the joint up. They have combined for an 0-3 record as of 0-4 record, excuse me, as of this point, with both with neither user really competing in either matchup. I'm sorry, but LSU, I just don't trust Jacksonville to win this many games, as in more than one. So I'm going to take Indianapolis, probably by about 7, over the Jaguars at home. Next up, we're going to jump over to Oakland for really the one of the top games of the week, where we have Oakland hosting Pittsburgh. Now, both of these teams come in undefeated, but unfortunately, normally in football, unless for Donovan McNabb and don't know the rules, you can't both not lose the game. With that said, Pittsburgh's got the dynasty behind them. Oakland, well, I guess they have Al Davis in heaven looking down on them, but quite frankly, I don't want that kind of juju working for me. We're going to take the Steelers by 14 over the Raiders. Besides, the Raiders have only beaten the Chargers. They've got nothing. Next up, we're going to move to the game of the week. Two perennial powerhouses. We've got New England traveling to Baltimore. Brady versus Ray Lewis. We've seen it numerous times over the playoffs. Both these teams starting off 1-1. So we don't know exactly where each team is. This is going to be a great measuring stick. I'm going to take New England. Their offense is just too powerful. The Ravens' defense getting older. They're not going to be able to keep up. Reed will get his pick, but that's all he's going to get. No wins for Baltimore.
Mr. Bakay, I got to ask, what is your over-under on Tom Brady's throwing yards? Is it 750?
I'm actually going to go a little bit under that. I'm going to set the over-under at 682.5. We got to throw the hook on there because I don't like ties. I don't like ties. I never liked wearing them. They tried making me wear one on Sabrina one day, and I threw a fit. I walk off the set. We cannot have that. No ties.
I like it. Now continue on.
All right, continuing on. We've got Kansas City at New Orleans. Probably the most lopsided matchup of the game. And it's not because of the talent differential. It's because Kansas City has this lowlife named Barron coaching them. I don't remember who was coaching Kansas City at first, BJB, some guy, and he just left. They brought in Barron. That is, you know, bringing in Barron was the worst thing that Kansas City could have done. He has shown nothing but being a lowlife, money-cheating fool. And he's shown that in the pushing for pay draft. So with that said, Kansas City is going to realize this. They're going to lose to New Orleans. They're going to lose every single game this year. You can write that down. Yes, Kansas City, Barron is 1-0 in his record already in TSO. That will get overturned. The NFL will make a realization that Barron cannot win, and that will be overturned retroactively. New Orleans wins by 21. And last but not least, I would be remiss if I did not include Buffalo at Cleveland, Keller versus Sean Mason. The jokes write themselves, people, so I'm going to leave it to you guys. Cleveland by 7.
So that was the first edition of Bakai's Picks. He predicted our week 3 games in a rather funny and, I don't know, that Nick Bakai, he's always been a weird guy ever since he was the Salem the Cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But that's besides the point. We're going to give you our 2012 season breakdown in the TMFL season right here on the Naked Boot. And we're going to start it off with some breaking news first. This just in. It's actually not going to be breaking news by the time our listening audience hears this, but we have our first career-ending injury in the TMFL. Chris Gokong of the Cleveland Browns has a fractured vertebrae, and he is out forever. His NFL career is over. Big news out there for Coach Sean Mason. Tough blow. It was a loss as well for the Browns as the Bengals came through with the victory there, but we wish Chris Gokong a speedy virtual recovery, even though we'll probably never see him again. And Sean, I hope you fill the void that causes you soon and can get right back in there. But let's give our predictions, as now this may actually have somewhat of a bearing on it, even though Chris Gokong, solid linebacker, not the greatest of players. But let's get right into it with our AFC side of things. Pinch, who do you have taking each AFC division in the 2 wildcard spots?
I've got the Jets taking a seemingly wide open AFC East. You know, thus far, it's been pretty interesting what's happened. You know, I don't think anybody's really going to take the reins of that division for quite some time. But, you know, at the end, I know Sim, he's a good player. That team really seems to fit what he does. And I see him emerging and sort of getting Sanchez on track eventually. So I've got him taking the East. I've got Pa Gamer taking the AFC North. And, you know, I think his Steelers at defense, that zone blitzing 3-4, seems to be pretty effective this year, at least for me. And I've got him taking the AFC North. I've also got the Bengals coming out of that, earning a wild card. You know, just seeing what they were able to do week one with Dalton is pretty impressive. And I've got the Texans taking the AFC South and the Raiders taking the AFC West. And I also have Coach Cheese and the Chargers squeezing out a wild card berth there as well. And, you know, ultimately, I'm going to pick one of the wild card teams here. I'm going to take the Bengals to run the table in the playoffs and just sort of get hot at the right time. And I've got them emerging from the AFC.
Wow. So the late addition to the AFC, Tampa Goose, all the way to the Super Bowl. He hasn't told us yet if he's going to win it, but he's predicted it right here. That's a bold prediction. Although my predictions, they kind of mirror yours in ways. Mine and the AFC East, I don't know, I've played an IU Husky in many video game titles, and I know his aggressive offense, and this game almost kind of caters to aggressive offenses. So I've got the New England Patriots taking the AFC East. Out in the AFC North, I've got that dreaded, that awful, that no good old man Gamer from the state of Pennsylvania. Just kidding, buddy. I love you. That's PA Gamer and the Steelers coming out of the AFC North with the Bengals also representing the division as the wild card team. I also have the Raiders and Big Shug Knight coming out of the AFC West. Where we differ is I actually have the AFC South champion being the Houston Texans with the Titans coming out of the wild card there. So we've got a little bit of a little bit of difference in our verdicts there, but as far as prediction goes, I actually have the New England. Actually, no, scratch that. I've got New England playing in the championship, but against PA Gamer and his Steelers squad, with the Steelers representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. We've got the same division, just different teams. Let's flop over to the NFC now, where I'll start this one off with you. You are winning the NFC East with your New York Football Giants. Out of the North, I've got Hova, the God MC, coming out of the North with the Lions. In the South, I've got the Saints, actually, with our very own Ant representing the wild card there. In the West, I've got the San Francisco 49ers, Johnny Clutch taking the West spot there, but I don't have any other divisions represented in the wild card other than the NFC South, with the 6th seed being the Carolina Panthers and Fuzzy Logic. Who is my Super Bowl team? Who is my Super Bowl team out of there? Buddy, that goes to you again. The New York Football Giants going to the Super Bowl to face the Steelers, and I'll give you my winner after you give me your NFC picks.
You're killing me. You are killing me. Well, you know what? I'm going to return the favor here. I'm going to take you coming out of that NFC West, hands down. In the NFC East, you know, I'll knock on wood a little bit. I'm feeling good about my team right now. And, you know, with that pass rush I have going, I think it's going to be enough for me to take that division. In the NFC South, I've got the Saints and Cap taking that division. And you know, I think that this division is going to be very interesting. And I do see more than one team coming out and clinching a playoff berth. And that other team I've got right now is Ant Cap and the Falcons. And I think the Niners are also going to earn that sixth seed. I think there's just too much talent on that defense. I know Johnny Clutch is new to the TMFL here, but I think that defense carries him. And, you know, I've got the Saints coming out and winning the NFC and playing the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Now, actually, before we get our Super Bowl winners, I want to bring our guest back in here and have him tell us who he feels the conference title games will be played between and who will eventually be the Super Bowl matchup and winner.
I got for the conference here, start off with the AFC. I've actually got the Raiders going up against the Bengals in the conference. And in the NFC, I've got the Saints going up against the Giants. A little bit different, not picking myself, and Cap is a different rival of mine. And just so he knows, I'm not showing weakness here. I'm just giving him a little bit of respect, and I'll definitely get the whipping stick when I play him at Week 10, just so he knows that.
Now, who do you got winning those two matchups and then eventually winning the Super Bowl?
I've got the Saints going against the Raiders. I don't know a whole lot about the AFC. A lot of new players, a lot of new faces. I'm using the first couple weeks as a measuring stick and kind of see what he's been doing to a couple of his opponents. It looks pretty impressive. So as of now, I've got the Raiders, Saints, and I got the Saints winning it all.
There we go with the Saints. They are going to take it according to division rival AntCap and the Atlanta Falcons. He's got the Saints winning it all. Now, Pinch, who do you have as your Super Bowl winner?
And I'm going to piggyback right off that. I'm going to take the Saints as well, interestingly enough. I think that, you know, that there's so many weapons on offense, and Cap's a great player. So I do think that this is his year. I think the Bengals are going to put together a nice run, but I think it fizzles out in the Super Bowl, and I do not see them winning this game.
Now, I hope we can still remain good friends, Steve, because you know, as we're getting caught up calling each other by it. But hey, you know, Sean made us use our real name, so why not? But I've got you taken out, PA Gamer, in the Super Bowl, and I've got you winning that ball game to be the Super Bowl champion in the first season of Madden 13 for the TMFL. So it's actually got it being a low-scoring game, probably somewhere between the 24-14, 21-17 type game style with, honestly, I don't know if either starting quarterback makes it through alive, both of them just getting demolished by some solid pass rushes. Let's jump into our player awards real quick here. This is a type of thing that I always love predicting because most times I am just horrifically incorrect. But I'm going to go piggyback off of what I said earlier about NIU Husky and his aggressive game style. For Offensive Player of the Year, I've got Tom Brady. He put up over 600 yards in Week 1. Granted, he didn't really do that much in Week 2, but 600 yards, that puts you on pace for at least 3 weeks, for goodness sake. So I've got Offensive Player of the Year going to Tom Brady, and Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to Ndamukong Suh. Is that going on the edge there? How do you feel about that one?
I agree. That was my pick for Defensive Player of the Year as well. You know, I think with Hova using the D tackle, and you know, he's a monster in this game. So I think he's gonna rack up the sacks he already has. You know, I think Jason Pierre-Paul, quite honestly, could contend with him. But I tend to rotate my defensive ends a lot, so he's just not gonna get the snaps that I feel Sue will. And you know, my offensive player is going to go to Matty Ice and AntCap's Matt Ryan. You know, I think he's really, you know, impressed me early on with some of his efficiency. And I think it's a good balance of, you know, that efficiency and putting up some gaudy numbers. You know, I think there's guys that are going to really, you know, like Russell Westbrook and maybe Eli that put together some good numbers and limit the turnovers. But, I don't think the numbers are going to be quite as high as you know, Matt Ryan's.
Now, who do you got being your MVP?
My MVP? It's going to go again to Matt Ryan. I think he's in store for a big year.
Yeah, that's a lot of times how it often trends is the offensive player of the year typically takes the MVP, and it's following suit here with me as well. I've got Tom Brady winning the MVP award. I mean, why not? If he's going to lead the Patriots to the playoffs and be offensive player of the year, he might as well take the MVP as well. Now, let's give our preseason hype to individual coaches. Who is going to be your coach of the year in TMFL year one?
Coach of the year? I'm going to say you. You know, I don't think the Seahawks have as much talent as, you know, some of the other teams that have been mentioned in the playoff hunt here. So, you know, I think if you can somehow manage to win that division, which I have you winning, I don't think there's any doubt that you're going to win Coach of the Year.
Well, I appreciate the compliments and the kind words there, sir. I've actually got my coach of the year going out to Tampa Goose. I mean, you mentioned what you think he can do with the Bengals, and so why not? I think he's a solid coach there. He's like me. He really hasn't been much of a Madden player here of late, but he's certainly making a great first impression here in TMFL. And let's sign off for the night giving us your – Let's go MVP, and then you can pick a coach of the year. Who's going to be the guy that we all say, oh, he did a good job with his squad?
Let's go with MVP first. If I got the Saints going to the Super Bowl, I got to go with Drew Brees. I feel like he's got that deserves that going along with my other pick. Coach of the year, I'm actually going with the Raiders, Big Suge Knight. I feel like same lines as you guys, trying to do the most with less talent. I feel like if I got him going to the Super Bowl, gotta give him the nod there.
All right, there we go, guys. That was the Naked Boot, a TMFL production, episode one. You know how I'm gonna do this is I'm gonna have some rotating guests in and out. Nick Bakai is gonna be a mainstay. I Pinch is gonna be a mainstay. We're gonna have a blast this year. I can't wait. It's gonna be a weekly thing. Do you have any parting words for us, Pinch?
You know, I think it's interesting that some of these newcomers, like you said yourself, Tampa Goose, like these guys who are traditionally NCAA players, have transitioned seemingly well. And I think that's just a testament to, you know, the overlapping gameplay teams. And I think moving forward, that's something to look for. I think some of these guys are flying under the radar, haven't been in TMFL, haven't played Madden. I think the game translates, you know, NCAA this year translates well into Madden. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. You know, I can't move fast enough at this point. So looking forward to these podcasts, looking forward to really, you know, kickstarting this year the right way.
Couldn't agree with you more. For iPinch, Mr. Steve, for myself, JFace907, my name's Justin, and for AntCap, if you can't figure out, the Ant stands for Anthony, we are the Naked Boot, and we are out.